This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
So July 13th, she's talking about all options that Charlie is bringing to the table. And that discussion apparently took place the previous summer, if I'm understanding correctly, when they were trying to get the living situation figured out of would he move, would he not move, before they went to such extremes, or at least before Charlie and Donna went to such extremes. What are your thoughts on all this, on everything we've learned thus far? We have Wendy being uncontrollably anxious, but not telling anyone what's wrong, just making Jeff go and drive 35 miles, or he does it out of his own will, to get her Pepto-Bismol. Thoughts?
Stacey, I think you're muted.
I'm muted, sorry. I grew up in a really... family that reminds me a lot of the Adelsons, not without the murder, just a lot of manipulation and domineering, grandmother and things like that. I know that nervous stomach. As a child, I ate Pepto-Bismol when the tablets first came out. It was a big deal. Like, I remember when they came out, but I was drinking that stuff as a child, like Kool-Aid. I know that nervous stomach. I know that very well. And to me, that's a sign. That is a sign you know some shit's going down. Your body is reacting. You know, your brain can tell you one thing, but your body is like, oh, honey, there's some stuff happening here. She knew. She knew all of it.
What's interesting to me about it is that she's this age. She's in her mid-30s at this point in time. And... this is the family she grew up with. I'm honestly a little bit surprised she's not more used to it now by now. But although we are talking about murder, and this is something that goes beyond probably the pale of what the length of where Donna and Charlie and their let's solve the problem attitude has ever gone in the past. And I'm going to guess she sat there knowing, well, they do tend to follow through on whatever they've done in the past, non-murderous activities, and the way as to which the callous way as to which this has been discussed amongst that family and brought about and then even joked about leading up to and after the fact. I'm going to guess Wendy, if she didn't know it was going to happen, knew it was going to happen just because she knew her family. That doesn't mean that she knew the time, the date, the place, that she ordered it or anything like that, but she knew if it was in their mind and they had the possibility of doing it, the likelihood of it happening could very well take place. Although I do think there's a lot of evidence pointing to that she knew the time or the date of that it would be taking place.
Well, and Jennifer just brought up a comment that they obviously knew that they were untouchable if they had this conversation in front of a boyfriend, especially a new boyfriend. This isn't somebody who's been in the family and knows... these people are just nuts. That's how they talk. No, that you don't know.
Yeah.
In a new relationship. Holy crap.
And also, like, if you're Jeffrey, you're Jeffrey and you're in a new relationship and the person you're seeing says, hey, can I talk to you confidentially about something? And then this is what they say to you. Don't you get the hell away from that as fast as possible?
Get the fuck out. Get out.
I mean, I'm the kind of person, if I'm having dinner with somebody and they've got stuff in their teeth and they're not self-aware of what that might. I mean, that's pretty much it for me. I'm like, bye. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
If they bring up murder for hire, I'm gone.
Wait a minute. No. Hold up. There's something we got to talk about here, Todd. What? So if we're sitting here and I've got broccoli in my teeth because I had broccoli because I'm trying to be healthy, you're not going to tell me that I have a big old green thing sitting in my teeth?
I will tell you after the broadcast.
And you'll have to look for a new job.
No, I'll tell you after the broadcast, only so I have video proof and something to mess around with.
Oh, my God.
I'm just telling you.
Wow, you guys.
That's why you look in the mirror. That's why or just look into, like, although I can't see myself when I'm looking directly in the camera. I have to look off to see myself in the camera. But yeah, I mean, that's part of the fun. It's just, you know,
I'm
done eat broccoli before the show.
Yeah. I'm also overacting a little bit on that because to think somebody would say, well, you know, my brother looked into the options and it would cost us $15,000 to $50,000. Run like fucking hell.
The fact that you're getting quotes, like, that's not an Angie's List. That's right. Not like a, right. Like, oh, there's let no me just, let me go throw that out there. Like you're getting insurance quotes on something and then you get 40 calls from different agencies going, we can insure your pet rhinoceros for this, which that's expensive shit. I'll tell you what, don't ever get one as a pet. Yeah, but the fact that he had like numbers. Yeah. Well, and what's interesting about it is that yeah, she just talked about it like it was nothing. It's because it felt so normal to her. It felt so normal to this family, and they're so insulated that they don't get that this is not how other families talk about things, or at least not a lot of them. And it is always interesting when you get into a relationship with somebody, whether it be a romantic relationship, whether it be a friend relationship, whatever it may be, and you start to know, or you start to get to know their friends, their family, more specifically. And if you start, you know, you hang out at their home, you have those interactions, you know, with the family and things like that. You start to see, oh, well, they do things a little differently over here. And we all do to a certain extent. There's certain things, I think, that we grow up and we become adults and go, oh, they only did that in our house. Like, that's interesting. I thought everybody did that. And a lot of times it's benign things. It's like, well, they buy Kleenex tissues and we use toilet paper or things like that. It's not, we openly discuss, you know, offing our exes. But this seemed to be the normal course of conversation for them.
Tons of comments from our viewers today. And one of the things that was said by a couple of people is like, what are we waiting for? Let's just arrest her, for God's sakes.
I'll go back to that. Go ahead.
I get that. But I think they're really building the case. I'm a very impatient person. I want this done right now. But I think they're really building it. And they needed those first people to get convicted. And it just is stacking and stacking. And I think it's going to pop up. We're going to get a news alert at some point, you know, some afternoon that, okay, here we go. The wheels are in motion now.
Do you think they've got enough already?
You'd to think. At least arrest her? More. What if there's more out there?
She gets to live a free life while, you know.
But does she?
I mean, I realize she's probably eating a lot of Pepto-Bismol at this point. I get that.
She ordered it from Costco, man. It came in a case.
Jennifer says, same with Harvey. I think they're building a case against him too.
Yeah. Yeah. How did he not know any of this?
I mean, I did a little breakdown of this the other day. I was just trying to find it, but I'm just going to have it regenerate it. Of what evidence exists to charge Wendy Adelson, and there is a lot. I mean, there's a lot. The statements and behavior. You have the hitman as a divorce gift comment. You got the suspicious post murder actions. Wendy went to the inconsistencies with interviews. You got the testimony of Jeffrey Lacoste about the money. There is a direct link missing. There isn't any forensic evidence, no wiretap with her arranging payment, no money trail to her, at least that we're aware of as of right now.
And
you would think if that existed, it would be out there. If it exists, Georgia probably has it. And they may be holding back. Charlie and Donna are convicted. Prosecutors may be waiting until they feel they have a watertight case before charging Wendy. And that's true. You don't want to bring it if it's too soon. Because if you spook them, I mean, there's a lot of other problems that could go on here. Wendy, of course, maintains her innocence, that she had nothing to do with Dan's murder and has cooperated with interviews. I think we want to fill the peg into that hole, but I don't know if it fits. I think at the end of the day, and that's what they may be waiting on, or they may just be waiting and let everybody take a breather, including their own team, which Georgia did seem to hint to the other day before she said, stay tuned. That's got to be hell being Wendy Adelson right now.
She's being punished right now. I mean, for those of you who are going, well, she needs to be in prison. Yeah, but she is in prison right now. She is in a mental prison. That woman, every time she wakes up and the alarm goes off and she takes that breath like, oh, shit, this is my life. Yeah. Mm.
And also, somebody mentioned, but what about the kids? I know they're teenagers now, but again, you know, she's still in charge of their life. They're still living with this.
Right.
And somebody just said they know that their uncle and grandmother killed their father, you know, and is their mother involved? Can you imagine what that's like sitting back going, I wonder if mom was involved?
Yeah.
They probably don't talk about any of this at home, is my guess.
Of course not, right?
Like, it's one of those things, just like all healthy narcissistic families, healthy, I put in air quotes, narcissistic families, you don't talk about the problems. You don't talk about.
Is there a hierarchy in those narcissistic families where, like, oh, this is a really healthy narcissistic family?
I think healthy is the wrong word, but healthy in terms of, like, extreme. Yeah. And healthy. Meaning, how strong is your ability to play along with delusional behavior? And I guess the stronger you are, the more apt you are to be able to go along with it. And a test of strength for a narcissistic family would be the amount of people that are still there, that haven't defected, that haven't gone off and said, I can go live a happier, better life outside of this. So you have at least one down here, you know, the one brother who went away that said, I'm good. But for the most part, this was a pretty strong family. I wouldn't say it is anymore, but then that leaves these people in chaos too. And if Wendy literally had nothing to do with this and was just so aloof, and I don't know if that's the answer or not. If she had nothing to do with this, I feel horrible for her that she has to sit there and live with this every day of the actions of her family and the torture that is going on, of which she did not choose. Now, she may have chosen to stick around and be a participant and get some of the ancillary benefits of having this enmeshed narcissistic family, which I think she did. And I mean, that's pretty easy to see. She was a big part of it. She didn't run away. So she was there. She was benefiting from the deeds of the family, whether it had anything to do with the murder or not. Both ways, she was. And at some point, you're a grown up and you have to say, this is healthy or this is unhealthy. You can compare enough of the real world out there and go and say, my family is different. We have agency. We can do those sort of things. And if you choose to stick around, well, I mean, I guess the consequence, it's the company you keep sometimes. And if they go to such extremes, maybe you should have walked away sooner.
Well, that's on you. If you chose to stay in that environment, you see what they're like, you see what they're about, and you do nothing about it, that's on you.
If I'm finding out that my family is trying to put a hit out on my ex, and there still is a functional relationship there with the children, as there was, and there was, you know, they were getting along with the kids, and there was nothing horrible going on there, and they're trying to do this beat like outside of my purview, my brother is saying this or something, I'd be warning my ex. I'd be like, my family is saying this shit, you need to be aware of this shit, I'm not talking to them anymore. I think you'd be doing everything you can to cover your ass, because if you're not seeing how that's going to turn around on you at some point in time, then I'm sorry, you're just a fucking idiot.
Kind of sums it up.
You are. I mean, you are an idiot. If your family is doing this and you're doing nothing about it, you're just like, oh my God, I gotta go get me more Pepto-Bismol. I'm so nervous. Like, okay. I mean, you can choose to sit here and worry and cry and freak the fuck out and then pretend you're a victim. Or maybe you are a victim in some sort of weird way, but you got yourself, you are choosing to participate. You are choosing to surround yourself with this toxic group of people who are flat out telling you what they're thinking of doing or considering as possibilities. I'm sorry, all the tears in the world don't forgive you of not letting your ex know about this, or you know, attempting to do something
about
this.
Though, Tony,
I don't care what you're afraid of at that point.
Yeah, can I throw something out there? Because it just came to mind. What about Jeff? What you know, he had all this information. Maybe he should have opened his mouth a little bit. I mean, we look at him and we go, here's a guy that seems to have his head on his shoulders. Sure. Not sure why he still wants to be around Wendy. Why would, you know, knowing that they're trying to off her ex-husband, why would you want to stick around? So there's questions about that. But You know, he had quite a bit of information. He could have said, you know what? I need to tell somebody about this.
You're right. I agree with that, too. Oh, yeah. I do. I think Jeff revealed in almost every one of his testimonies, and he probably will here, too, the reason why he stayed is because he thought she was hot. That's the stupid. It's not a valid reason.
No, but that's the power of the hot woman gets the man every time.
But that does seem to be like, oh, your family's plotting murder. You got nice boobs.
It's the power of the boobs. I have been speaking of this for years, for decades. A woman with a great rack can own the world. Prove me wrong.
I mean, that's I think the reason Jeff pretty much is, I'm not going to speculate. Jeff has told us this is why he stuck around. I don't think there's really any other story to this other than Jeff was not thinking with his brain when it came to that. He seems like a very smart guy. But when it came to Wendy and the opportunity for him to have sex with Wendy, he was taking that over everything else.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.